God, I feel like a pastor. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may all sit down.
Minutes. Chris Gore.
I make a motion to approve them.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We have the two main fleet managers here today, and I thought we'd start picking their brain for a little bit, and then get back to narrowing down where we want to go. It's been we could kind of centralize more focus on a policy or take-home vehicles. It could be a little wider. I've been looking and thinking about different things, but I think we need to decide as a committee here where we want to go exactly with this now that we've accumulated a lot of information. We did get some, that was today, right? The comptroller apparently had a report from 13 or 15.
2013, yeah.
And there were, but not a lot has changed necessarily. There are recommendations in there, some of which I guess aren't being followed through, and I haven't had a chance to go through and see what they've recommended. We also have the standard operating procedures where there's some certain things that we're supposed to be doing, which I'm not sure everything's being done. But why don't I introduce the technical fleet manager who works at a DPW, and do we have a name on here? I don't want to.
Million.
How do you say the last name?
Million.
Million? Mr. Million? Do you want to say anything, present anything to us on your thoughts on, is there anything you'd like to see in a policy? Is there anything that could make things work better? Have you been frustrated by anything? Do you think everything's good? And then we can maybe ask some questions to better familiarize ourselves with how it all works.
I just wanted to see what everybody's thinking here.
Okay, yeah, so let's...
Do people, you know, what do they want to know? You know, for the take home, whatever. It's more to see where this is going.
Okay, sure. And there's a lot of things that have nothing to do with you. The way that we purchase vehicles, certain things that we're going to talk about later today is standalone. I have a resolution here that was resolution number 102 of 23. It was a $2.6 million resolution with every single vehicle in it. That has nothing to do with you. We're going to discuss part of the policy being maybe voting on specific vehicles separately. If we're going to buy 50 vehicles in a year, we'll vote on 50 different vehicles, and there will maybe be some a little more description in there in the resolution on who exactly is going to drive the vehicle. How is it replacing another vehicle? Things like that. A lot of this stuff has nothing necessarily to do with you. But let's get to know your job. I'll let everybody. If you're on the committee and you want to ask a question, you don't need to. As long as we're not getting in each other's way, you don't need to raise your hand or anything. It can be a little more open. But anybody that has any questions for Ms. Million, start firing away.
You
can
just say Kim.
Kim. All right, I'm done with that.
First I'd like to address, like you said, where would we like to go with this? And I think a couple of ideas, you know, may come to mind. You know, obviously we have essential personnel, and it's always been a practice for them to take vehicles, and given it's such a large county, if there is a call, an emergency, rather than have them drive all the way back to a substation or the main station, you know, I don't feel that there's as much concern with them taking home vehicles. And but with that, I'd almost, because there's also a fringe benefit thing, but I really would like us to discuss whether that is a fringe benefit or not. I mean, we should take a look at essential personnel as a different a different group. With that, I do have a question, because the Charlie Busick law was very specific about individuals or departments submitting requests for take-home vehicles, and there was reporting, and is there a lot of requests? Are the requests reviewed every quarter? You know, what is the procedure as it is now within your office?
It's pretty much the same as it was. And most of the people that have take-homes, honestly, they've had them for a long time when it comes to DPW. But they send the requests, and they're the same requests that we've had for the last few years. There have been no requests. But usually it's the department head that makes that decision, too, when they take something.
So it's done on a quarterly or annual basis, or is it just that once it's put in that position, I mean, okay. All right. And I think the other thing I'd like to see is a report on the fringe benefits. If they're getting reported, I mean, I certainly don't need to know names or social security numbers or addresses, but I'd like to ensure that, you know, it is being reported for tax purposes.
No, it's being reported.
In what way? And how do you report? Yeah, go ahead, Amanda.
Just to one prior item, and then
yeah, go ahead.
This spreadsheet shows annual by department take home vehicles from 2008 to 2023. There is a gap 2015 through 2019.
Yep.
However, what you can see is kind of the overall trends. And for the most part, stability in the overall number, with the exception of those being the big, the sheriff can talk about the kind of shift of the vehicles. So, leaving the bottom part of this spreadsheet, which just to, for example, with Public Works, looking at those numbers, where in 2008 there was between Buildings and Grounds and Highway 28 vehicles, in 2023 it was 27. So there has been, although there's, you know, obviously in that time there have been people who retired, have gone out of the county employment, and those vehicles have not taking home a vehicle anymore, but overall that number is pretty steady, just as a, so there's not like a deluge of requests for...
No, and that's what we're here to talk about. I don't think there's ever been, or in a, there's been a committee such as this in many years, and in theory, we may have had some extra take home vehicles. We may decide that it's just been a long time, that maybe we, you know, Dutchess County is a very similar county. They have a budget that I think is $120 million more. They have some 100 and something thousand more residents than we do. Larger departments, for the most part, every single department is a larger department. And they have 12 take-home vehicles outside of their sheriff's department. So obviously, we've allowed many more of our employees to take-home vehicles. That's one of the main things we're going to talk about in this committee over the next couple of months, is are we satisfied with the number of take-home vehicles? I think the executive even acknowledged in to a reporter several months ago that she may agree that there may be too many take-home vehicles, and she's open to that discussion. So.
And I would just, you know, since I have this eyes on the spreadsheet right now, you know, of that 41, which is in the subtotal line, which is the executive department. Can you help me out with this? But I'm going to say, like, probably all but four of those are union positions. So I think that's also another kind of important thing for kind of gauging.
Yep, I have talked to some, I've picked the brain of some lawyers, and I think we should be pretty comfortable going where we want with that, as long as it's not written into the contract, and I have not seen it written into the contract.
So, with the caveat that last week there was a Supreme Court case that significantly changed the threshold for Title VII, which is a Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964 case, and it specifically had to do with what's considered compensation, and then taking away somebody's compensation. And it was all about law enforcement. It was their hours, going from kind of 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday, Friday hours, to a more sporadic shift and a take-home vehicle. And even though compensation and benefits stay the same, there's a change.
I believe,
kind of,
when it comes to law enforcement, I think that there's even different the way they apply mileage, where they have to file their mileage, which we'll talk about later, which I think DPW is more or less in compliance with all the take-home vehicles there. I'm not sure the rest of the county is, but some of the standards are different for law enforcement there. So we will have to remember that and get some legal advice if we decide to recommend any take-home law enforcement vehicle.
So that's not just law enforcement, so Title VII is anyway. So that, again, just trying to kind of calibrate the conversation so that there's an understanding of how many of these are union positions. We're going to be entering into negotiations with the union come June, along with a salary study, and that this is considered part of compensation, and that is a good place
if,
to have
if there would be minutes, the way I understand it is, for that to be something that would be able to be legally challenged if we took a vehicle away or recommended it, it would be, there would have to be, you probably have to show minutes and discussions from prior negotiations of those union. If they can't provide actual discussion and minutes from negotiations that reference the vehicle being part of the pay, then we're probably in perfectly good
in
legal position. And I don't know, anyone I've talked to has never told me that there's been that mention, that it's actually been verbalized in negotiations that, well, you do have a vehicle, so or whatnot. There would also have to be some uniform, it would have to be very uniform as far as every person in that position, every person with that title would all have to have the same vehicle, and I don't know if there is a lot of uniform there. So I think we're in pretty good legal position with outside of law enforcement, having the conversations we're having without a lot of legal worries. Not without that backup, I don't think. But that's something we can get to once we make those recommendations. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yes. So regarding, so there was a, okay, so the quantification, tracking, and reporting of fringe benefits, like all is very tightly prescribed by IRS 15B. The circular, that language, once you've read 15B, you can go and look at something like the Charlie Busick policy and see that all the definitions, a lot of the language, all that stuff is coming, it's parallel to that, guidance. When you look at the definitions therein, when we look at these vehicles, we think that the only department that has to be following the compensation documentation for a non-personal use take-home vehicle is Department of Public Works, so that we feel that we're in line with those reporting requirements for DPW. Because there are other exemptions for emergency vehicles, marked law enforcement vehicles, other vehicles that are exempted in the 15B circular.
So does that include Office of the Aging, the Public Defender's Office, the pool of vehicles that's used for the legislature?
Well, this is strictly for take-home vehicles.
Social services.
That's on
those
here.
Are invested. Those are, that's FTAC.
Family court.
So it's an investigative unit, so they don't have to.
So. Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, we have emergency management, police, investigation, and then public works, and that's why that...
That's why they're the... I was under the impression that public works was the only one that we
right.
I know of that
because
does...
That's the only
okay.
one that falls under that requirement under 15.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Office of the Aging
doesn't...
They don't have a take-home vehicle.
I saw they saw a list that said they did have more than one. And, of course, the medical examiner, but that's per contract.
Office of the Aging has six vehicles, including their van, but we're being none of them are take-home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the departmental list.
The
list
is everybody that's
take-home.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. back to...
I was thinking we'll discuss the purpose of the committee, but quantifying...
I'm hoping to get... And she works as a... Liz...
Kim
works a regular day shift. She's here late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to get any questions we have for the actual fleet manager to get going.
Have a question now?
Yes, sir. And then we'll get to everything else.
Do you feel like the standard operating procedure is feasible right now, and is it being followed?
It's feasible, and it's being followed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when it comes to, like, I know the biggest thing here has been the fringe benefit, but after I read 15B, and... You know, when it comes to that, DPW is actually doing the $3. Well, right now it's $3, which we're still looking into, but currently they're following everything that's in that SOP. You know, but then you have exempts where they're following, turning in the paperwork, but certain things are not being followed either because they're technically exempt. And I also... When it has to do with the sheriff's office, I'm not involved in what they're doing either, because that's not part of, that's what they take care of, not me.
Do you think there's any overwhelming components of the SOP or anything that we can help with as far as it being too difficult to accomplish?
I don't think it's too difficult. I think it's more we need, I think the way that it's inputted into a system that was started many before I even got here. It needs to be upgraded. It's a VHB system, which does, it needs to be upgraded. But other than that, I mean, it's still feasible, it still works.
VHB.
What do those letters stand for?
I have no idea.
It's a command line.
It's like if you look at it, it's like a green and black.
Again, MS DOS kind of like the DOS right. Program.
So is that being digitized with the other documents that we're working on?
So that's where we have better, we're deploying better technology with the vehicle fleet. You know, everybody thinks the time for us. If that wasn't the case, you know, this was like pretty much paper timesheets when
yep.
this was written. So we have better systems that can better be used to track those. And make it easier for the employees to track in an accurate manner. I would just caveat that and say, like, that feels pretty procedural to me versus kind of like a higher level policy. But, like, us going through the procedure, you know, cleaning that up, sharing that with you, you know, I'm comfortable doing that. But, again, just trying to, that's procedural.
So, when the owners of these vehicles, do they fill out their own and enter their own data, or do they provide that data to you to enter?
Most departments put in their own data.
And it's most departments or most or the individuals?
It's the individuals.
The individuals.
That have it.
Okay. Well, that seems good.
Most
as long as there's someone else who's for checking it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're checked like weekly or monthly or?
It's more monthly.
Okay. Thank you.
Most individuals that have take-home vehicles are getting a gas card.
The gas cards are to the vehicle, not to the person, and it's also to the department.
But if it's their take-home vehicle, it's more or less their gas card that they keep with them.
Well, it should be in the car.
Yeah, with them in their car that they take back and forth.
But they shouldn't be taking it out of the car at all. Because technically that's what we do. Every department has them, even if they don't have a take-home. And they stay in the vehicle, and each one has, you have your own specific PIN number for each.
Does anybody fill up at an actual county-owned gas tank anymore with a take-home vehicle, or it's all cards now?
It's not all cards, because like for DPW, it's diesel for their trucks, and they have substations where they fill up at.
We have take-home diesel trucks?
No.
Oh, that, I'm talking
saying
specific.
In general, just that we have diesel.
Oh, yeah.
For the big trucks, and that's the only place that we actually have.
That's the only gas we have left is
that
diesel.
We have left.
Okay, so every take-home vehicle is going to be a gas card that is in the vehicle.
Right.
But just to clarify there, because there's a detail that's like important to us, so there's a card assigned to the car,
mm-hmm.
and then each person has a PIN.
Right.
So then when you're reviewing records, you're reviewing it for the both the car and the driver. And odometer reading has to be entered so that you're tracking the usage and that it makes sense.
Yep.
It lines up with...
How do we do that? Do we do actual audits to make sure... because all you're really doing is putting
in... And actually, the sheet, you have to... Like, when we pay the bills in each department, you have to have that backup. And it shows each vehicle, how much gas they use, who filled it up, what PIN number, the mileage, and for each vehicle as it comes out for that bill. It'll say, if you charge five times, just say, in a month.
Yep.
It'll show the five times on that one vehicle.
And then when it comes in for service, it's getting read out again.
Right.
And then when we go through the Grand Fleet report, we're auditing every one of those to come up with car mileage. So
do we? Is there software that would kind of, that kind of has algorithms built in that says the mileage is right, but the usage isn't? It's off. That would flag something that looks like they're...
Well, they'll flag it.
Or you pull up another car right next to it, or these things have happened in the past, years ago in DPW. How often do you do an audit like that? Do you ever get? Have you ever had a complaint over the past couple of years that you've had to look into?
I've had to look at the mileage because a lot of times it's human error. They put in the wrong mileage, and it'll flag it.
But it's only been human error. We've never had one instance of an abuse of a take-home vehicle that we know of over the last three or four years?
No.
Have there been accident reports on take-home vehicles?
Yeah, there's accident reports. On any vehicle, there's accident reports.
Right. And when you look at those reports, is it verified that the person involved in the accident is actually the person that the vehicle is run to?
Assigned to. It just, at certain instances, it could be... Not everybody's assigned a vehicle in a department.
Right.
So, for instance, DFS. If you're a caseworker, you're going to go and say, I'm taking this car today, but tomorrow you might take a different one.
Right.
So it's not like everybody's assigned to the same vehicle. So when they have accidents, whatever vehicle they're in, that's what the accident
county,
is.
County safety would throw up a huge red flag if they saw someone else's name that wasn't a county employee on accident report.
Okay, that's
and, my and question. And they're supposed to be notified every time there's an accident, and they have the option whether or not they come to the scene or not. So.
And they often go to
even for us.
They come to the scene.
So if it's listed to Joe Smith, and it's like Donnie Smith, his 8-year-old son, that would be the
yeah.
Okay.
I know in the state system, and I'm not familiar with the county system, does the system also track the miles per gallon of the vehicle?
Yes.
Okay.
Cost per distance.
Because that used to flag, you know, if the vehicle gets 21 miles to the gallon, between 20 and 22, you're okay. But if, say, somebody used a car to put gas in their personal vehicle, that mileage is going to drop. It comes back as 15 miles to the gallon. That would be picked up right away, goes into the EM shop, and they validate what the mileage is. And this system does that.
Mm-hmm. We use the same gas card as
the state. Oh, okay, good.
Who decides what make and model each person gets? Because there's a big difference between there's similar positions that have basic interior, they're rolling up their windows with their hands, and there's other people that have pretty souped up vehicles. There was a big Dodge Rebel, big tires, roll bar, you know, step up bars. It was pretty souped up.
Usually what happens for the case of DSS, and I'm just using DSS because they get a lot of different vehicles as well. Well, I sit with these individuals and ask them, do you need a bigger car? Do you need a smaller car? How many clients are you taking? Because they take many clients. Sometimes I'll sit there and I'll say, Kim, is there any way we can go from Cloth to Pleather? Because you have different children in there who
destroy the
seats, and it kind of gets nasty. Yeah. But, you know, they'll request things like that, and that's what we look for, and that's what vehicle we're...
But let's quickly go back to, say, DPW, where you have certain individuals driving very, very high-end models, and other individuals in similar titles not, and then there also seems to be additions. How does that work when somebody wants bigger tires or nicer rims or tinted windows, or how does that work? Do they just request it?
I just want to, I'm sorry, because we had the same incident happen to us. Is during COVID, we were limited to availability of vehicles, so we were married to whatever was available at that time or whatever came through on the mini bid when we put it out. Like, we didn't want this model Tahoe, but that's all that was available during COVID because that's all they were manufacturing,
sure.
And then the chip shortage.
I'm pretty sure that the head of DPW that was driving that big souped-up, lifted-up Dodge Rebel wasn't, I think there was other things available. That's what I'm trying to get down to. There's definitely times that we do choose, and it wasn't during COVID. A lot of these vehicles we're talking about, certain people ended up with pretty nice vehicles, and it seemed some of them were even had additions to them. How does that work? Do people have to request an upgrade to a vehicle? Who would approve that? I'm asking Kim about it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't, you know, there's sometimes there's just limitations. Sometimes we have, you know, if we're looking for certain types of human vehicles, again, it's a smaller pool, and then you're going...
No, I'm specifically saying I've been told by multiple people in DPW that these trucks are souped up. And additions have been made to them.
We'd have to go back and look through the specs and look through
But I'm at the fleet manager is there, and I'm here to ask the fleet manager, with all due respect. Are you saying that does not happen, that we don't make, we don't upgrade vehicles? It's a yes or no.
There are times when we have to go back through the specs.
With all due respect, I'm asking the fleet manager if there has been times that we've upgraded vehicles.
There's probably been different specs in the past that have gone as part of the mini bid.
Nope. I'm saying that we're asked for specifically, not that's all we could get, or done after the purchase of the vehicle. I'm asking if that has happened, yes or no. It's a yes or no question. So we've upgraded, we've taken take-home vehicles and then upgraded them with accessories.
Oh, no, we don't update them with accessories.
So
they come that way, or we don't update them like that.
Okay. Have there been department heads that have asked for nicer interiors and, I mean, that had nothing to do with the functionality of their workday, they just want a nicer vehicle? Amanda, I have whistleblowers from DPW. Let's ask about this. I'll pass these around. These are regular fleet photos of fleet vehicles. The men and women that don't have take-home vehicles sometimes can't even roll up their windows because of the smoke pouring in. You have tires. These are the things people are giving to me, and then they watch these souped-up vehicles pull into the lot with the take-home vehicles, and these men sit in offices all day long and just drive back and home from work. And the men and women that are doing the work during the day are in vehicles that, quite honestly, are not safe. There are souped-up vehicles that we got with all the bells and whistles. I'm even under the impression that some of these additions were made after the purchase of the vehicle, and those are the kinds of things that we're here to talk about, in part. We are. These are tax dollars. Okay? So if these are the high paid department heads that get to drive around big souped up vehicles, I'm the taxpayer, and the men and women that are doing the everyday work are looking at that and then getting into unsafe vehicles, we do have a problem. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of how these things are happening.
We are happy to answer questions generally over process. I think when you get to exactly when a make, a model, an interior finished, etc., was purchased, you have to go back and look through your request.
A $70,000 souped-up Dodge Rebel with monster truck wheels. That's the...
An individual request, you know, you'd like to look at that first.
Do you typically utilize an OGS list to purchase vehicles?
We usually go to the marketplace. Even though the marketplace is now closed, the state is still allowing.
The OGS marketplace?
Yes. The OGS, that's where we go through, OGS marketplace.
I'm sorry, and they're typically Office of General Services.
Thank you.
And they're typically built to a spec that the state puts out. And
yes, they can be changed.
Under what circumstances do we change?
Usually, like when now with the electric vehicles, we try to go for the more extended vehicle, so it's a bigger battery. More batteries, so we'll go up that notch so that we can, instead of going say 200 miles, it can go 250 miles instead.
And that's an add-on to the contract?
That's an add-on to that vehicle.
So kind of following up with like what the chair was asking a moment ago, I mean, I assume the county is not doing things like approving things like stereo systems or fancy preamps or anything like that.
We go actually when it comes to tires, for example, the state has a contract with Goodyear, which is online, and we basically go off of that Goodyear contract. Same thing with parts. Parts, we have a local bid with Lynch. And that's actually bidded. That goes out for bid through the purchasing department, and that's how we get our parts. Sometimes we go through the manufacturer. It depends on the vehicle. We can't always go aftermarket with certain brakes or rotors, but sometimes they don't work. Same thing with wheel bearings. Sometimes you can't. Go OEM. We have to go OEM.
But it's not like we're spending money on luxury items like the fancy stereo systems or suit up tires or rims or.
Usually just standard Goodyear tires. That's the contract. Because that's what the contract is.
Do the regular fleet vehicles that you drive during the day, every department has, I know over at DPW, I mean, we have 37 DSS vehicles, but not many of them are take home. So we have a large fleet of vehicles that sit at different county buildings during the day that can be driven as needed. What's the tracking like there? Because at times you don't have enough vehicles. There's not enough vehicles there. They're all out, and somebody's taking their own car, which may not be the end of the world to go drive somewhere and charge mileage. And then other times you might have too many, and the cars are kind of sitting. You're working on them more. You might even have to go and jump them. I think we do have to go and jump vehicles sometimes that sit in the fleet, the regular day-to-day fleet. How do you manage that? How do you track that? And how often do you tweak how many you have there because of issues, more or less?
I mean, actually, since Samsara has come into play, it's actually becoming easier, which this, we should have had this maybe a while ago, but we only got it in the end of 22, beginning of 23. That's when we started getting Samsara, which is GPS. And now we're actually, myself, it's actually worked out because the system actually tells you, it's good for the mileage for the green fleet, number one, because it actually will tell you in a year how much you're using on one specific car. It also gives you the mileage, which makes it easier as well. And it also lets you see who's sitting there and not using their vehicle, which honestly has been a huge difference, because you can go to a department and say, hey, I just jumped your car again. To me, it seems like you don't need it, and then you tell me, oh, no, I need it. This system is actually letting us see this and say, okay, it's time to give back the car because you're not using it, and then you can use a pooled vehicle instead, which really we only have three of them. But if you're just running out during the day to do something and you call and say, hey, I need a vehicle, okay, here, take this one. But it's actually, in my opinion, it's helping now with everything, the stamp status system.
So,
go ahead and then I'll go.
So I'm just curious, so why do most county operations have one system and why does law enforcement have a different? And are the systems similar? I mean, are they basically the same? Or?
So our AVL system, officer,
what kind of system are you referring to? Like the track it?
Well, I'm referring to
like
the GPS. I'm sorry, I'm also referring to like the interior like safeguards that go on within the department. I mean, do you have like a similar reporting where you have to, where the individuals are in charge of keeping mileage and reporting that to a supervisor, and then the supervisor checks that monthly as the other county departments do?
Yeah, so for our patrol division, we have a monthly inspection sheet that the individual fills out. That's not just for take-home vehicles, it's also for the regular fleet vehicles. Where they submit it, they indicate mileage, if there's any wear, tear, anything else, the vehicle, make sure that the vehicle's up to date on service. If it's not, then it has to be corrected. If there's a problem with the car, say if there's a light out or something, well, if they don't correct it by the next month, then we'll have to address it. But
And our vehicle tracking, the GPS, is linked in with law enforcement in the county, so they can see our vehicles, we can see their vehicles, and it's more of like a safety issue when we're out on patrol.
Yeah,
so that's why we have a separate system.
So like the Kingston Police, they can see,
we can all see each other, so that way.
It was all intertwined with emergency services at one point.
Okay, thank you.
And the fleet manager gave me access to view in WEX, so I could actually check the mileage based on, compare it to their sheets every month.
To the monthly sheets, yeah.
How do you track that the day-to-day vehicles that people aren't just jumping in a car, the day-to-day fleet, the non-take-home as well, and going out to lunch but taking a vehicle rather than their car? Is that kind of thing tracked?
That's more of a department thing. And because they're going to know what they're doing, those
because we had a couple of county workers shopping at Sam's Club the other day. There was alcohol in the cart as well. They had a county van. So that's not great.
If there's,
I have a time and date for you if you'd like to run the GPS.
Typically,
something should probably
what
be
happens
done.
Is that when there's a complaint and these are maybe somebody feels that a county vehicle was speeding, or we get ones from DPW that somebody's mailbox was hit, and that's when we'll go and look at that and then refer it, and then the fleet manager looks at that and then
besides, but as far as, now they could hit a mailbox, they could even speed, but they could be technically doing their job and where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I asked earlier if there's been any abuse of a county vehicle as far as where it was driven or anything like that. And as of over the last couple of years, we don't have a single case of an abuse of the use of a vehicle as far as time and place. Do we have a single case?
Those are dealt with the department head as those kind of reports typically come in. Usually they come in as a phone call or, typically not in a report.
I'm not asking you to out anybody, but over the last couple of years we have had the abuse of vehicles as far as when they were used or where they were used.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, because when I was asking about gas before, so we didn't figure it out through gas.
Wasn't that a separate question?
Well, if they were using the vehicle incorrectly, that means it would have had more mileage on it and used more gas than we would have thought, but it didn't ping, our system didn't ping it. It took a complaint, or?
I'm not quite adding those two things up, because you have something that's still inappropriate and maybe a very short side trip or personal trip.
So the only time we've caught or had to discipline anyone was very short trips, and we had, we. How did it come about? you're now saying that there has been.
No, I was saying I didn't understand that analogy because I didn't think it kind of jived. But what you're asking now is how.
Well, first, have we had instances of the abuse of a county-owned vehicle's usage, either where they were or when they were using it?
Where or when? So I've not been involved in any kind of complaints and investigations like that, and, you know.
But a minute ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that does happen. But we've never caught them through the use of the mileage, that there was never, hey, the mileage is off, where were you? It's always been a witness-driven.
Are you referring this is strictly about gas?
Nope. I'm referring to the use of a vehicle outside of the way it's supposed to be used.
It does happen?
Yeah. No, it does happen. I'm saying, how do we catch these individuals? How do they get caught?
Well, we've only had
before Santara, it would be complaints and investigation.
And it would have to go to the court,
right? And then after Santara, it's still pretty much the same pattern, but with a more data on it.
Do we catch these individuals with Samstera or usually through complaints? Witnesses?
Through complaints.
Okay. So Samstera is a tool, but it's obviously not the end all. It's not catching
very
everything.
Very important point to make for the committee is that we do have GPS and it does provide this kind of roll up data for mileage and gas use, how often the car is turned over. But there are not enough hours in anyone's day, nor a bunch of employees, to sit and go through all the county cars.
That's where you do a record. Yeah, you would do a snapshot audit,
and
everyone would know that could happen.
A snapshot audit or a complaint investigation. So,
and that's where I was asking before. Do we ever say, hey, everybody knows we have 99 take-home vehicles, 50 outside the sheriff. Does everyone know that we are going to pick one of you a month and we're going to
spot check on it yet? So we haven't done that yet. It's been complaint
driven.
And again, that's, this is GPS technology is newer and the car is going out. I think that there's a general level of awareness among the employees that they're, that's on the cars. However, it's used mainly, as far as investigating complaints. It's also been very useful in
validating complaints, for one.
Not only validating complaints, but actually invalidating complaints. Just
that's true. It can clear you just as well. It's like body camera.
Again, like those mailbox cams or et cetera, there's a lot of times when that vehicle is nowhere near where that was reported to be. So it can be actually very kind of protective for employees as well. So, appropriately using that and potentially doing spot checks. Absolutely.
Does anyone have a take-home Prius? Is there any Prius that's better take-home?
Prii.
I'm not saying it correctly.
Prii.
Oh, the plural. Prii. Oh. Yes.
Does anyone have a Prius as a take-home vehicle?
It was a Latin.
Or are they just day-to-day food vehicles?
No, we don't have a take-home Prius.
Because on President's Day, there was a Prius hiking up a mountain, and I don't think they were working. So now the question becomes, who takes home? So people must take home. So do people take home these day-to-day fleet vehicles? If you're in probation, does anyone take a vehicle home?
Probation?
Or I'm just saying as an example, how would this happen? How would a...
At probation, it's not a Prius.
I'm not saying it was probation. I'm just using
random. But that's a good model of how they handle kind of the after-hours call-outs for probation, where there's one vehicle that's the on-call vehicle, and then their schedule is set up so that they rotate through that and who's on call that week. And for that week, they take the vehicle home, but they're on call. That's their call week. It's a different model for that. So it's not considered, it's not... assigned to one person, so it's not considered a vehicle, but it's the on-call vehicle.
So there's an on-call Prius?
No.
So how does a county Prius end up hiking on President's Day?
I didn't drive it up to the mountain, so I don't know. It doesn't seem like that is a logical county use of a county-owned vehicle, and that's something, if we were to receive a complaint as such, it would be investigated.
So it still seems like we're fairly relying fairly on complaint.
Mm-hmm. Who receives the complaint?
But also you have to when it comes to DSS has clients. And sometimes you will see a county car in Walmart, or you'll see them in Sam's Club. And because they're taking their clients to get the OFA does it, I'm pretty sure too. But I know a DSS does that. They do take their clients. They have to.
Is there a number to call for complaints, or is people would just call
the
county?
They come in through the fleet manager, through the tech inbox. They all get sent to him. So, safety.
And what is the policy on passengers? I understand what you're saying now, but DSS, they would be taking a client. What about, like, other departments?
There's a prohibition on non-different drive-through.
If there is if you have an individual in the car, they have to have a purpose for being in the car.
Yeah.
Like say, I'm going to go look at a bridge, and a consultant gets in the state car. They have a purpose to be there. My daughter would not have a purpose to be in the car. Or a hitchhiker would not have a purpose in the car.
So you can't have the situation where you're dropping your kid off from school on your way to the office.
No.
Not in a state vehicle.
Which, you know, I've talked to people that have turned down take-home vehicles for that reason, because they know it's an impossibility for them to not. So it might even be naive to think that at times you're not swinging by daycare on your way home and grabbing your kid, which isn't great, especially if you're only technically using that take-home vehicle 5 or 6 times throughout the year off work hours, which is what we're going to get to and talk about.
But that has happened in a state vehicle.
Yeah.
But it happened that the wife broke down somewhere, and he's on his way home. He's not leaving the kid in daycare tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. And that's an anomaly.
Anomaly, and it's explainable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a good. But then there's times where maybe it's just every day you swing through and pick up your kid. It's just something you do.
Then it's not an anomaly.
No, then it's not. Mm-hmm. And so far we're relying on someone to call, and obviously those things are happening. And it was up Oliveria Road on the way to the tallest mountain, I think, in the area on President's Day.
Oliveria,
yes. So, thank you. The point of some of these questions is this isn't perfect. We obviously have take-home vehicles and fleet vehicles not being used at times the way they should, and there is no perfect system. No county has a perfect system, and the more you have, the more you gotta be aware of. Especially there's a cost to the vehicles to begin with, and we're going to eventually get to deciding whether or not we're happy with the number of take-home vehicles we have. Before anybody else goes, Charles from the Comptroller's Office.
Yeah, so I'm the Deputy Comptroller, Charles Denzel, from the Commissioner. Matt, I had asked about 4 questions to the Commissioner of Finance about tax compliance with the vehicles on March 18th. She ignored me. She said that you would be answering them today. So here we are. The first question I asked, I think you've answered already. It was, are employees in DPW the only ones who have personal use of company vehicle included on their W-2?
Hi, Charles. We have been sitting down, going through what has been finance procedure.
No, I mean, what I was going to state is, they're utilizing the vehicle to commute, which de facto, I guess you could say, is personal use. But I don't think
they're taking it on vacation or
no, it's a
saying, geez, I need some milk tonight and take the company car.
Right, Herb. So it's a fringe benefit. It's $1.50 each way.
Right.
And that's considered personal use. And
it,
so
it is, but I would stipulate it's commuting.
Purpose. Oh, yeah, 100% commuting, yes.
Because that's how things get in newspapers that don't make sense to me.
Right. In the eyes of the IRS, it's considered personal use. So, anyway, it's supposed to go in box 14 of the W-2. Do you know if that's happening, Amanda?
It doesn't actually say, it doesn't have to go in box 14. If you go further into the IRS guidance, it says that it's supposed to be considered part of their wages. So in that way, once we went, it doesn't actually need to go into box 14.
But do they then have to put the number of miles each way?
No.
It's a flat rate?
It's a flat rate.
No, Amanda, that's incorrect. It's supposed to go in their taxable wages. It's supposed to be taxable for Social Security and Medicare, and that's all happening from what I understand, but I think you're just missing that little informational thing. It's also supposed to go...
To provide the information in box 14 is optional.
Okay, fair enough.
Used to show up on my W.
Yeah, it showed up on everybody else's return I've ever seen. So anyway, I was under the impression that there were other departments that have take-home vehicles, such as the DA's office, that are unmarked. They don't meet the law enforcement exception. Are you aware of those?
I will stop you right there. If you go into the definitions for what meets the exception from having to follow this, I have to just find the. It includes vehicles that are not emergency vehicles, unmarked vehicles that are used in investigations. So all the vehicles that we have said before, we're reporting the DPW vehicles for that $3 a day. Everything else falls within that. Within the 15-year guidance for not having to be an exempt, the community benefit.
Okay. How are you tracking the control employees and elected officials who use county vehicles? Do you have any of those?
So, 15B states that we can't use the commuting rule if we don't meet all the requirements, which the first one doesn't seem like we need. We're going to look at that again, but again, this only applies to the DA. The sheriff falls under number two of that, so it would be just the DA in kind of our analysis of that as far as who wouldn't meet the control employees.
Okay. Do you feel that county's currently compliant with all the tax regulations?
Actually, we feel that we are overcharging several of the DPW employees because they should qualify under the exemption because the vehicles are in excess of 14,000 pounds, and they should file under that exemption. So we think we're overtaxing.
Well, what do you estimate the overtaxation to be?
We haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
But after, going through 15B with a fine-tooth comb, that's where we came to.
Okay.
Okay. And if anybody finds something different, if you disagree with an opinion he has or vice versa, do your research, send your backup through Michael, and we'll, there is, two or three, there could be different of opinions, and then we'll have to bring in another, and we'll have Amber come in and break the tie.
And if there are requests that are then coming from the comptroller to the finance office, but they're really in support of this committee's work, that they be made directly to their deck office so that we can compile that and answer the committee.
Okay, that's an odd. I don't know why the finance director couldn't have.
To come back to here. So.
Well, it's both, Amanda. We're looking at compliance with tax regulations as a whole, as a part of the duties of the comptroller's office.
Right.
And we're also interested in this as a part of this committee's work.
Okay.
And
so it's
for both. Yeah. And it's disappointing that the finance director did not.
Yeah, I would appreciate an answer from the commissioner.
You did have an answer that we would bring the information to the committee because it's
but you know, would, to be honest, though, had he had your answer here earlier, he may have a difference of opinion, been able to go and research that, and then give that back to you. Now we're waiting till next month to hear his retort to what you thought. It would be a much better functioning county if simple questions could be answered by other elected officials and their appointees without being passed through. But that's all right. We're not going to, let's not even go there. We're not going to get to the bottom of this. The executive is not going to change
that
approach.
So if it had come through the committee as part of the committee's work, we would have.
Okay, I don't think that's the best way to function, but we are not here to talk about that, and that's something that is wide-ranging, you know, and not just specific to this committee.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the report from the comptroller from 10 years ago, Kim, it said one recommendation is to assign one individual to oversee the county fleet and maintain the necessary records. Do you have any overlap with the sheriff's department and the fleet manager? Or did this recommendation, was it implemented? And is that you? Do you have any overlap with Officer Wenzel?
Lieutenant Riley. Sorry.
I can tell you that they work every day together.
Yeah.
They are on the phone every day talking about these stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very close working relationship for sure.
Great. Thank you.
But going back to where there's a process that Kim has as far as sitting down with people and deciding what's best for them, but Kim, you do not sit down. We have quite a few take-home vehicles in the sheriff's department. That would be Officer Wenzel would be the one sitting down and going over.
No, we actually sit together.
Okay.
We all sit together, even.
But being a separate countywide elected official, ultimately the decision falls on the sheriff, obviously, for whether or not he's going to put in for a take-home vehicle. That's obvious. And then there's the executive branch. So there's, you know, there's going to be different levels. What it so I don't I'm sure there could be some abuse with the sheriff's department as far as some of the things we're running into on the other side with take-home vehicles. I doubt there's as much. The vehicles, for the most part, a lot of your take-home vehicles are actual marked cars, which brings me to how many vehicles, how many take-home vehicles are actually marked with the sheriff's or the county's seal? You know what I mean? Where in Sauberties now, Sauberties actually has a policy that every take-home vehicle, every vehicle is marked. You have the Sauberties seal on it. So if it's, if you see a vehicle, and we've had that happen, Yankee Stadium, there's a Sauberties vehicle. If you have it marked, we do not mark our vehicles. There's no way to tell others.
The sheriff's office. Are you?
I'm talking to Kim, but a take-home vehicle. My next-door neighbor has a take-home vehicle with the sheriff's department. I can't tell it's a sheriff's vehicle. It's not marked.
Yeah. No. I apologize. I just thought you were.
Yeah.
Speaking of both,
I'm asking you both, but I'm under the impression we do not mark our take-home vehicles or our fleet vehicles.
Well, that's a good question. Do we have?
Depends on the department.
Yeah. Certain. I see some of the yellow and orange trucks. Some of them have the seal, but most of the take-home vehicles are not marked. Correct, if any.
Highway department is marked,
except for the license plate.
The license plate would be
county.
Yep.
The license plate or both. The license plate says Ulster County right on it.
Yeah.
We do mark them. Like for instance, emergency management. They're on this list of taking homes. Their vehicles say it. On there, what
yep.
they are. DPW has them. Some of them actually have fitness. Some of them actually.
So of the 25 buildings in, no, 25 highway department take-home vehicles, how many of them would be marked?
They all have blocking.
On the side of the car that sticks out, not the license plate, besides the license plate.
They do. It's a range of different stickers that are on them. There is a range of them. They either have a county seal like this, they have the map, they have smaller ones. They're on there. And if they're taking them off, we have to put them back on. But I'm just saying, the majority of them all have them. And when it comes to the rest of the fleet, it depends on... what department it is.
Every single take-home vehicle has a rather large sticker of some sort on the side.
Depends on what the department is.
I'm asking specifically about highway
DPW.
Department. Yeah.
DPW, like I said, it's a range of them. Some of them have a map. Some of them have a round sticker, about maybe this big. And then usually, I think it's the supervisors have the smaller one that's about that big. But they all should have them.
Okay. Why would the supervisors have a smaller one?
That's the way Highway has done it for years, even before I was even over there. Because I've only been over there for the last couple of years, but that's what they've always done over there.
Okay. So, hey, look, that's something we can talk about, more of a uniform.
Right.
I would like to see a take-home vehicle be rather largely marked. I think that would... there wouldn't be much of a cost to it. Sounds like some of them, or a lot of them, are already marked. The Mustang that was being driven by Brendan wasn't marked. What his Dodge Rebel was?
Also didn't have plates on it. Just paper plates.
It really not marked. Where is that now? Who has that vehicle? The Sheriff's Department? That we were told that was a pursuit vehicle. Is that a pursuit vehicle?
Purchased as a pursuit.
It was a white Mustang, electric Mustang.
I think we utilize them.
We don't have a white Mustang. We have two gray Mustangs that are fully electric.
And they're not pursuit vehicles.
They're not pursuit vehicles.
No,
they're not being utilized as pursuit vehicles. They're being utilized as... professional standard investigative vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Have you ever used an electric vehicle as a pursuit vehicle?
No. Not very applicable.
I don't think
we have 1,100 square miles.
Front page
county.
Of the Freeman. We were told that vehicle was thought to be a pursuit vehicle,
no.
But
it's pursuit rated.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, but it's not practical.
Not like it's not a lights and sirens.
Yeah. In small city areas.
And that was that vehicle. We were told was just being used temporarily by Brendan until his new vehicle was ready. And surely that was 6 months ago. Is he in his new vehicle yet?
No, he does not have a vehicle.
Okay. All right. Well, there's just a lot of confusion around that one.
He doesn't have a vehicle because he just hasn't received it, or he's not eligible for one.
He doesn't want one.
He doesn't want one.
The Mustang was his vehicle. After it came out about the Mustang, he went into the fleet manager, put his keys down, and said he did not want to have a vehicle anymore. So that's what happened. All right. If I don't have a ton more questions for Kim, thank you for, if anyone else has any.
I do, but it's more for the committee.
Nothing.
About moving forward, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's get, she worked the day shift.
Yeah.
I think
you
had a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Or more for me, I think. Just in regards to going back a little bit to Simstera for a second, in regards to the issue where we were talking about the issues of, I guess you want to call it whistleblowers, in regards to investigating misuse potentially of take-home vehicles with the Samsara system. So obviously it's tracking all of the data in terms of mileage and GPS locations, but are you saying that it's not actively red flagging potential issues and we have to look at it on the back end?
No, there's definitely, like, if somebody's speeding, like, there can be, like, there a pop-up kind of, like, what do you call that? Like, preemptive warning,
mm-hmm.
Right? UCAP bus, other vehicles, like, those are automatic, like, pop-up warnings that have to be, or, like, really erratic driving. As far as, like, it's incredibly time intensive. I think that's what I'm trying to say here. It's like, without having like an audit procedure or something like that, so that it's being used when there is a complaint. It's not being used, like, you know, how fast is the car's been going this far.
But if there's a pattern of, so if the system knows your regular commute using a take-home vehicle from home to work, and if it detects a pattern of behavior that this car is going to Sam's Club or the shopping center and is out of normal performance.
So it could be, again, with some kind of insight that would steer you to making this decision. You can geofence locations so that if someone goes to a certain location again, there's a push notification through Samsara.
And does that include county lines and
it could,
bridges,
although for example, the DSS will go have to take clients even out of state.
It's hard for when you geofence, because you're a county entity, you want to geofence the county, but it's not, you can't geofence the city of Kingston because a county employee is going to drive out of the city of Kingston all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, as in, you're talking about the data mapping, your routes are that's just not available in any AVL system yet that we know of, unless AI.
The GPS will work in another county, though.
The GPS will work in another county. It'll alert you if you geofence it, but I'm just saying you can't just geofence certain locations.
You can't geofence the county, so
correct.
You know if it's going to Sullivan County.
Do we have any?
Geofence any location if you want.
Do we have any take-home vehicles that go out of county on a daily basis because the individuals live out of county? Do you have any in the Sheriff's Department that live out of county that are taking home vehicles every day?
You can't have vehicles.
There's a couple that are
We have three in DPW. I think one low-level supervisor lives in Ithaca. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that we have to look at. He lives in Ithaca.
We only have, ours are special team people. Yeah. Either they're on the emergency response team, we have the K-9s.
They got to respond.
Yeah. They're on the 24th, yeah.
Or some of the far-flung areas.
And then they come out very far. You don't want to in and out. If you're getting,
Officer Stiers, if you got somebody that's in distress on the river,
you want him there.
The idea that he would be driving to get his truck to pick up his boat is insanity.
Yeah.
There is going to be a lot of, a lot of understanding and recommendations to continue with all of those things in the Sheriff's Department.
I always used to tell people, if you were getting shot at, wouldn't you want the person there as fast as possible? Not, hey, I got to go here, something, load my stuff up in another vehicle, and come save you and your family.
Yeah.
I don't care how you get there. I want you there
as fast as
possible.
But at the same time, you do have take-home vehicles in the Sheriff's Department mm-hmm. that rarely do anything but drive back and forth to the Sheriff's Department, the jail. And that is something that we're just going to have an open conversation over the next couple of months about that. And I think we'll look to other counties. I think we'll decide, kind of look at it ourselves. And there's a time if there's only, 7 or 8 times a year that somebody is maybe going to a scene or reporting somewhere else or going to a training somewhere else. I think that's a fair conversation to have, whether or not on those isolated situations they fill out for mileage if they wanted, and not get to drive back and forth on the taxpayer dime. 99% of the people in this country drive to work every day in their own vehicle. And I think when you look at the numbers of Dutchess County, I think it's a conversation we have to have, and it's not. I don't think it needs to be contentious. We just and we'll make recommendations, and then we'll go from there. But I think a lot of the sheriff's vehicles, I think there's going to be I'm guessing there will be consensus. But as far as I'm concerned, it makes a lot of sense. Somebody like Stiers has to. He's the one getting out on the river and saving people. He can't be driving to go get his vehicle. He's got to have a take-home vehicle. Did anybody else have any questions for Amanda or Zeke? Okay, so, look, we've got to kind of start to decide where we want to go. If you guys want to hang out, you can. I don't think we're going to get into all that much that you're going to be worried about missing, but it's up to you. This committee, ultimately, we don't have a policy after the charter that speaks to a lot of the things we're talking about. Tracy had done something pre-charter, the Charlie Busick Law, that we can use as a template. We've printed out other counties' policies that don't necessarily speak to some of the things. One of the things I mentioned, and I'd like to hear what everybody thinks, and then as anyone else has thoughts, throw them out there and let's openly discuss it. I think voting resolutions, I think, you know, this was kind of the culmination for me of not great government when we approved $2.6 million in vehicles in one vote with no specifics. I don't think it's crazy to think that the purchase of a vehicle should be a standard, and a lot of vehicles are going to be over $50,000 at this point. I don't think having part of our policy be each vehicle be a separate resolution for us to approve. I don't think that'd be a big hindrance to the exec, and not put large multi-million-dollar resolutions for different departments, different offices. What do you think?
I was going to say, rather than do individual, we should do groups. If they're going to replace 8 pickup trucks in DPW, they're all the same pickup. They're all F-150s or whatever they are.
4 new plows, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. What I mean.
I think that's how ours gets presented. Ours should be presented as what, 7 and 3.
What's that?
Ours are in Kim's Capital.
Yeah.
Yours are what?
Are presented
in Kim's Capital.
Okay.
So there wouldn't have been a single sheriff's department vehicle in this resolution.
Oh no, they are.
No, it's all in one. Yeah.
They need to be replaced every 2 years.
I'm not unopposed to breaking it down by department or something. I just don't think.
Or maybe class of vehicle.
Yeah.
Because if they're all going to be the exact same vehicle off the OGS list, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, the OGS doesn't, that system doesn't really quite exist anymore. It's now
I know what you're talking about, where you sell Ford F-150, mm-hmm. you can buy in white from Denoyer for 10% off. It's not as easy as it is.
It used to be a lot easier.
Pre-COVID, it was like amazing.
And I don't know why they've changed the system. They should buy that.
Yeah. We do purchase one-off vehicles sometimes, where like our Bearcat purchased, where or a boat or anything where we might have to.
Don't talk about Bearcat. Oh my God. Talk about that for ages.
You know, where it just might not be applicable, but you know, 10 vehicles one, but we don't do it every year. We do it every few.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully not for a long time.
And we're happy to provide additional documentation that goes along with that, more backup basically as far as the information that's received and, you know, kind of the rationale, because certainly what the legislature receives are not the requests that come in. Those get very heavily vetted.
Yeah.
By the fleet manager. And I can tell you we're preparing now the capital request for this year, and it is significantly reduced from what the requests were. So.
Could also be part of the policy for all take-home vehicles to be separate, break it down by department. Think on it. I'm going to put a couple of these things specifically on the agenda for us to kind of decide up or down whether or not we want this in the policy or not, want those kinds of specifics in the policy.
I think we, if I may,
yeah, go ahead.
Very clear about, and I think there, in starting my way through this full report today, there's a lot of very, very informative, and I think will be insightful for this committee, information that's presented, along with management responses, both from the sheriff's office and from the executive's office. This the issue that I need to come back to is that Charlie Busick, although it was called a policy, it is truly both a policy and a procedure. It is pre-charter
yep.
at that. That was not implementable, and it was, you know, became the SOP, became the standard operating procedure, which is in the SOP manual that's on the internet, which is what we follow. There just has to be a crystal clear delineation between what are the policy goals and the policy statement versus what is then part of the county executive's purview as far as developing the SOP, the standard operating procedure, in order to implement that.
So
and I think
yeah.
that being overly prescriptive from this committee is, again, doesn't allow for changes in technology, changes in tracking, to meet the overall policy objectives, yes. But again,
I understand what you're saying. If we're allowed to have we'll set the policy, but we don't need to tell you, as long as you're following the policy, we don't need to tell you how to do it. Yes.
Or how to then write the SOP that
fair enough.
Holds
yep.
up the policy.
In other words, avoid micromanaging.
Herbie, go ahead. With
and I was going to say, you know, we should be looking at creating the policy per position and not per individual. You know, mm-hmm.
yeah.
position
yeah.
requires this. Not because Joe is in that position, it requires that.
Exactly.
Right? You know what I mean? It
yeah.
years ago,
it
depended what your name was and
yeah,
whether
no,
you had a car or not,
yeah.
and it should be based on the position requirements, not
yeah.
an individual.
Not something that's going to be here 30 years from now when none of us are, too. And it, yeah. You know, Amanda, this look, I think this would work a lot better if the exec really, you came to us and told us what you know, by next month, I'd love to have a 30-minute start the meeting off with, or even have you send out, you know, a couple of days before the meeting, what you think, really, what you like, what you guys over in the executive branch of government as far as day-to-day operations can see would be good going into the future, even when mm-hmm. you're not sitting there and I'm not sitting here, which would be good. Put yourself in our shoes, we'll put ourselves in yours, and redline some of that stuff out. Obviously some of that language is antiquated. Take it out, all the stuff you're talking about where it kind of regulates how to do it rather than what the ultimate goal is, which is the policy. Give us, that'll really help,
okay.
because we may just agree on 75% of the stuff, and then we can
I bet you we agree on more than 90%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come down to a few positions as to whether
yeah.
they should go home or not.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, if the only time that vehicle is used is to go from home to work
mm-hmm.
and from work to home,
bye-bye.
Yep.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be
yeah.
a take-home vehicle.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think we can all
and then,
more or less
and
agree.
And Aaron, you know, you talked about, you know, alerting this or alerting that. If somebody's only using their vehicle to go to and from work and you say, oh, there's 8 more miles on it today, why was that? I mean, they shouldn't have the car. I mean, and the guy that comes into work, hopefully he's going somewhere. He's going to Shokan to look at something. And then he says, you know something, while I'm here, let me go over to High Mountain and take a look at that. So you're never going to capture those miles. And you can't dictate, no, you can only go to Shokan tomorrow, you go to High Mountain. That's going to be difficult.
Bless you.
That's going to be difficult to track. But if somebody's only using their vehicle to and from work, and that's the only time they use it, that's easy to track. But we shouldn't be tracking it because they shouldn't have a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to echo what Legislator Maloney said, Amanda, that
mm-hmm.
it was really helpful when you pointed me in the right direction, because I've been marking up all of this reading material with questions and thoughts. But when you told me to read the sheriff's response and the county executive's response, it helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you too, Chair Maloney. Like, if a certain document is really important, please flag it more than like 1,000 pages.
Yes.
You know, actually, probably a good starting point for you and the sheriff's department. You already have a list and know the number of take-home vehicles. Out of this 25 vehicles, 7 of them are foremen. So you take qualifications and why a foreman needs to. All right, now we don't have to worry about that 7.
And I really believe when we're all said and done, there's probably 90-95% of them we're going to agree on, because it's emergency
one way or another, yep,
or whatever. But then there's going to be a few vehicles are going to say, well, why did that position need a vehicle? Why? Well, they need a vehicle. Don't get me wrong. Why did they have to take it home? I mean, DSS has a bunch of vehicles. Nobody takes them home.
Yeah, and that comes into the other part of the discussion. Is it's after hour usage that we want to that's really going to boil down.
Well,
because if you're using it during the day, we have a fleet of trucks there at DPW during the day. You don't need to drive it home. If you need to drive, if you need to come back and pick up a different vehicle to do your job, you probably don't need a take home vehicle as well.
The only person that should be taken home is somebody that needs to do work after hours.
Yeah, often enough.
Emergency
where, yeah.
situation yeah. or something. After hours.
And where time matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out from the beginning, you talked about essential vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should distinguish between emergency vehicles. Because essential during COVID became people delivering food. It's just the
so
word
to
choice.
Define essential. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
As far as that calculator goes, it's a neat thing. I don't know if And I think more or less we're going to, our own kind of eye test is going to probably go along. There's a calculator in the Charlie Busick policy that has you basically put in the number of miles and something else, and if it doesn't add up, if it's not more than this, then the recommendation is not to use it. And if you're basically not using your vehicle several times a week after hours, the calculator basically tells you. We can use it as a guide. I don't think it's something we're going to be plugging numbers. You guys are going to be looking. You tell me if you like that calculator, but I think it's. I think like Herb says, we go through position vehicle by vehicle ultimately and kind of decide where we're at, and then eventually part of the policy will be the approving of a take-home vehicle, like the process or the qualification, you know, what the process is going to be around approving a new take-home vehicle, and that should be a vote on the legislature if we're going to give a new position. Once we decide who should have them going forward, part of the policy will be adding another take-home vehicle to the fleet and what the policy is around that. But I don't know if we need that calculator to do it. The leasing is another thing right now. Go ahead, Amanda, before I get into leasing.
I'm just trying to capture the, like, kind of like the scope items, basically. So I don't know if we can do that at the end after you...
All right, let's do that at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Herb has to leave at 6:30.
Yeah, but we're just about there.
We're going to leave. I just want to say the Sheriff's Office is open and transparent. Whatever you guys need from us, we are here. That's why we're here tonight, to make sure that anything you need from us, we will provide you. We want to make sure this is as possible and make sure
great.
This all works out.
Okay, so before you go... Yeah. We'll ask for the same thing. Can we get every take-home vehicle that you have? Can you compile the position of the person? I don't care. Specifics of the human being does not matter, obviously.
You don't need their name. You just
no,
need position.
The position of the person and. Where and basically their GPS outside of back and forth to home. What they've used? How often they're using? Maybe a year of.
I can tell you that when they're on patrol, they're all over the county. I mean, I'm from one end.
I am not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not patrol vehicles. Okay. I'm talking about. Take home unmarked take home vehicles or lightly marked.
A lot of them confidential.
Yeah. Anything that's confidential, do not.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah, like the undercover cars and all that stuff. They're
absolutely not. We were never going to deal with that. I think I think there may have been even verbiage added to this resolution that we were not dealing with that.
Okay.
No, this is Vinny Altieri as an example, and I love Vinny.
Yeah.
He's a good buddy of mine, but he is someone that. He's not undercover. He's the captain. He's a captain.
Yeah.
It's a take-home vehicle. He can be on call. Yeah. He does get called to some horrific crime scenes. I'm trying to get a feel for the number, because if we're going to have the conversation that Herb just described, which we all knew was coming, we need the number of times that they are, and the time and the dates of the after hours calls that they took their vehicle to. I don't need the, I don't need where, I just need the time and the date.
Something I can ask the sheriff for, yeah.
Well, if we can't, if we can't track that, that's
I don't even know if we need the date. I think what we need is the percentage of time that happens.
How many times?
But there's got to be a little backup to it. I don't want to hear.
It's hard. Some of it still. Yeah, I mean, some of it might be open investigation. Some of it might be.
Yeah, I can talk to the sheriff. We'll find something. There's got to be a way we can get you that information.
I mean, I think they addressed it previously on one again. 2013 and about it. I mean, if the sheriff.
Okay, but aside from the sheriff's department, do what you can for us,
yeah.
And we'll take a look, and hopefully we're satisfied with what we get. But for everybody else in the county, that is something that we can do, right, Amanda? There's no limitations to.
We're talking about positions and why they would have I think you have to start with just the position and why they would have
right,
it.
Which we can
yes,
do that.
And then, but we're looking for the number of times they are using it after hours, which is what a lot of what we're going to base our recommendations on.
So that the position, I understand. Then the utilization, I think that you have to look at that. First, it's whether or not the position warrants a take-home vehicle, right? And then the next step is whether or not the utilization warrants a take-home vehicle. So I think I'm comfortable with the first lens.
I don't know if we can do the first lens until we get the information for the other one. And you could describe a position where they do this, after hours they do this, but if they've only done it three times in a year.
But I think by taking the first cut, you're going to take a lot of those out.
Okay.
So you don't have to do the detailed information.
I gotcha.
On those.
All right.
Because we'll already agree that the foreman has to take his vehicle home. Maybe he gets called out 20 times a year. Maybe he gets called out three times a year. But it's an emergency type thing. It's like an ambulance.
Right.
You hope you never have to that thing leave the bay, but.
So I was just going to say, I mean, there's been times where I've been called out three times in one week and then I get called out for another month. But it just depends on, crime is just all over the place. So it could be nonstop and then it could be nothing.
It hopefully be nothing.
I'm sure you keep things in your take-home vehicle that may be necessary as well.
Yeah. I have my diet here and there. I have a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I have all kinds of
forensic kit, whatever. But so that too, what can we have that as well? What is
and
kept in the...
Yeah, and that's also part of what 15B kind of next. We're looking at what even... It's interesting because that also leads into whether or not you're even considering it a benefit as a fringe benefit, is whether or not it has specialized equipment that has to be kept in the, tank, specialized equipment in the vehicle, things like that. But again, this is, for the sheriff's office, it's first whether that decision tree, I see, is like, for emergency and for law enforcement, do these apply at all? And I think in the past, that has been a point that has been contested by a prior sheriff, that they did not feel that the take-home vehicle policy, Charlie Busick, whatever you want to call it, was applicable to a sheriff. So, that's the first lens. But for DPW side of the house,
and
first
others,
first of all, does the job title warrant it? And then looking at, is it something that can be captured in that kind of cost benefit? Because even for DPW or other departments, there may be some of that calculus where you're not capturing the need to be prompt and the need to have all the gear and all the equipment ready to go.
And we'll talk about that. And then the other thing is what a lot of DPWs do in other counties to keep the number of take-home vehicles down is they're on call. And they have, and they take a fleet vehicle home when they're on call, and then they have their equipment. And if, and that's something that I definitely think we're going to have to explore when it comes to DPW, and something that is probably the main way most of these other counties are kind of handling that and we're not. And we're just giving every guy that might, or woman that might have actually do something once or twice a year or 10 times a year, well, they get a nice big truck.
You know, again, there's employees and looking at where they are in the county and the geography, and making sure that's something that the sheriff's office thinks about as far as having that coverage. Kind of, there's a little bit of that calculus too. You know, again, so there's things that can be quantifiable, but then there are other things that are a little maybe less consistent or definite in that. I don't know how else.
Yeah, you're right on point.
And the only countywide elected official that has take-home vehicles that's not here or a fleet is the DA, correct? That's
I
not covered?
I think so, but I think what I heard him say was that the DA is no longer, the new DA is choosing not to take a take-home. So, and that would also get to Charles's point of...
no, they have every investigator now, and this is new.
Regarding the... the salary for the control employees, and there's the definition of the executive level 5. If the salary exceeds executive level 5, then that's the DA is the only.
So you're saying the DA no longer has to take off
duty? I have to check with
you. You mean Manny personally? But I'm talking about the DA's office. They have 10. As of 2014, they had 2, and then over the last couple of years, they jumped to 10.
There's different kind of tax implications, potentially, if the DA is to take the vehicle home because of the compensation, because of the salary.
I was just saying that we need to request the DA give us the same information that we're requesting of you. So that would be Bill Weishaupt is the quote-unquote fleet manager over there. So if the 10 take-home vehicles they have as of 2023, if they can provide the same information that the sheriff is going to attempt to provide and Amanda will provide.
I will get that.
And then the clerk does not have any vehicles.
County clerk?
Yeah.
That's
and the
that would be it, right? Yeah. I gotta go with my escort.
Thank you.
Now that I'm late, they got a
you're heading down for
driver.
I knew it was too. I was waiting. I was like, maybe she doesn't work that.
Oh, I remember you last
time. Yes, I remember.
What we're looking to get from you? Okay, yeah. I also wanted to say, part of a do we wanna have in the policy right now? You have a executive, your own policy that you follow. You told us that you do not lease. You do not think it's good to be leasing vehicles. No, you don't lease right now. I'm not big on leasing vehicles, but is that something that we want to leave open, or do we want to actually have it in our policy that Ulster County does not lease vehicles? It's a
part. Certainly how I've seen this fleet manager manage the fleet is that she doesn't like these vehicles. There are certain situations where the DA strongly advocates for leasing vehicles, and those are maybe circumstances that are unique to the DA. So that might be a question there, but...
Does the state opine? I mean, do we want elected officials to? Do we want to bar elected officials from take-home vehicles?
You know, I'm sure you see what you see going on.
Who's it?
Well, I mean, that would include Manny.
That would
include the sheriff.
Yeah.
That's what they told me. Make an exception.
You can make an exception for the sheriff. At least he's. I mean, otherwise, why does?
Yeah.
what I'm big on. I mean, I don't fill out mileage. I'm big on public service. I don't know if
I've never filled out mileage.
Yeah,
I think Manny.
So, but these are the kinds of these are some niche little areas. But anyway, to Amanda's question.
I'm scratching out my office.
So overall, we want to end up with an actual policy, an updated version of things we've seen from other counties. I would like to see, but this is a committee, and then eventually the entire legislature will vote on whatever policy we put up to codify to make it official. I would like to see some specifics in there on, like I said, limiting the number of vehicles in a specific resolution. I'd like to hear what the executive thinks is reasonable about that without hindering your day-to-day operations. But at the same time, I think we did get to a point where 2.6 million and a million vehicles was not good government and was made it difficult for us to do our due diligence. And at the same time, I think if you make it a little more specific, I think on the executive side, you could make the argument that sometimes things like that are better when you have to separate things out. Maybe you'd even notice things. And besides the number, I'd like to see a couple of specific things in the actual. The reality is the legislature gets, you know, 500 resolutions. Maybe it's not quite 500, but 500 resolutions a month, and we can ourselves go and focus on one or two things and do deep dives and ask questions and maybe improve things or change things. But ultimately, I think a lot of times we find out later, man, I did not know that was in there. I did not know, Tracy may have brought it up, but the purchase of the vehicle for Samadhi, I didn't know that was buried in the backup. And I would just like to see something in the whereases and the resolve that have a couple of specifics about the vehicle being purchased.
That wasn't what, if it's a take-home purchase, was it?
What's that?
The Samadhi vehicle. The county purchased that vehicle?
Well, it's still in the process of being purchased, but it was mentioned. I got the backup for the original.
I mean, we have RFPs. That. We have that. Day, we have that for the a lot of the times with the, for the contracts. We have the, you know, there's the little blurb about what in regards to it specifically is the contract is for. So, you know, the little chart.
I wasn't really making the Samadhi comment about it just happened to be a vehicle. It was more about there's so much in the backup that I think it would be helpful for us to have some just some specifics. If it's a take-home vehicle, who's it for? Is it replacing another vehicle? But based short, not a lot, but gives us something to work with, ask questions off of.
Also, if it comes in as three resolutions broken down by department.
I like that idea for sure.
Yes.
And I think that we have a good like template to work from here too, with, you know, the report from the comptroller's office from 2012 or 2014.
Laura, what did you want to say? And we still are trying to give Amanda a scope of what we're trying to do.
Well, in the committee as well. I mean, it just when you mentioned a vendor, and there's been other instances, I think, with family. We have, I don't know if we have a policy for purchasing vehicles for vendors. We have contracted.
We have a contract that.
Okay. So a family was no longer a vendor.
Miscellaneous expenses, but it could be used for a vehicle, something.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, out of the 481 vehicles, how many are for?
Situations and where that's happened. I have heard of the Samadhi example being discussed, but I don't know if there's a substantial history of that happening. So I can't really say that, like, is that a one-off, or has that happened half a dozen times within the last?
Because we were going to do it for the service, too, to connect people with UCAT for within a half a mile. I can't remember what that was called. No,
microtransit. That's slightly different. And that's actually related to one of the points that I wanted to bring up about leasing. We have in the past evaluated certain counties do this. They've switched to like a leasing model, especially as they green their fleet. So, you know, that's a global kind of perspective where they've gone to leasing. I think like Sullivan one county's done it. There's quite a few counties. But, you know, it's something where you have to. We worked, we went out for an RFP years back, got several different vendors to come back in with proposals, and none of them made fiscal sense for us because we do a fairly good job of managing our fleet. So it didn't kind of pay to go to that that leased model. But there are some cases where you might think of a specialty vehicle or something like that. So it might be that saying all leases are...
Fair enough. I mean, there'd be... I'm sure there's a... And you guys are crunching your numbers. And to require that is probably the expected number of years that the vehicle would be driven, the expected number, the average maintenance on a vehicle like this, and then you compare it to the lease. That is too much. I'm not asking for that. Maybe we'll just get off the idea of a lease. You make a fair point that, for the most part, we don't do it. It's never been a problem, and it would be a rare case that we do. For whatever reason, the DA wanted to do it. And the DA, to me, Billy Weishaupt is a big-time investigator. I'm not sure he's paying much attention to the 10 vehicles he has. Like we heard, there's some significant attempts at oversight here, and I'm not sure the DA's office is doing that with their 10 vehicles, and they also want to lease. I think they probably need a little more.
I mean, that would be another good one for a rotating schedule.
They probably need a little more oversight.
But going back to that, I mean, you know, as far as purchasing vehicles, you know, I would like to look at, you know, when we purchase them, is it going to be for vendors for the county as well? Or, you know, what will our policy be as far as them making repairs and, you know, I just like to take a look at that. Also with the electrification, we have goals at 100%. I don't know if that's realistic considering, you know, the pursuit vehicles. I don't know if they have a real tried and true. I don't know many police agencies that have electric vehicles yet. Standardizing logos, and I put down on most vehicles because you don't want them on an undercover car, and of course the Sheriff's Department has their own logo. I'd also like to take a look at the vehicles defined by weight, that 7-ton criteria for fringe benefits. That might knock out a lot of the vehicles.
It's only like 3.
Oh, okay, so it's not going to knock out a lot of vehicles.
For the take home, it knocks them out of the...
I'd like to see a clear replacement for capital equipment added in. I mean, we have a 1989 Dodge on here. The Sheriff's Department has said before every 2 years they go through a vehicle because they use them 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, working in the garbage in highway industry, you can make a vehicle limp along.
Yeah.
That's an 89, but, I mean, the one we had, you toggled everything. You toggled on the lights, you toggled on the, you know, so it's not
really.
Yeah, and there was a piece of sheet metal across the floor, so your foot didn't go through it.
I think there's a balance between 2 years and 30 years.
Yeah. Evaluate whether it's just a commuter for call-outs. Okay, you already discussed that one. And then the maintenance records, I think that would be helpful in reviewing how often we have to replace. Because they keep the maintenance records for 6 years after the vehicles are taken out of service. Now, with 481 vehicles, that'll be substantial, but I don't think...
Or to what end?
I would imagine it'd be more than a certain amount of times per year. I mean, is that something they do anyway if they have a vehicle that now twice a month it's going in for repairs?
Definitely what the fleet manager does.
Yeah.
Hard flag for her when she looks at the time and the number of times it's coming into the shop, and that's how things get moved to the surplus and then auction. She's pretty...
Did you bring it up because you're concerned about abuse?
Oh, with the maintenance? No, that was more for replacing them and for...
Like this, the vehicle?
That vehicle.
And there is a few. They have some issues over there, I'm hearing, where there's actually take-home vehicles being driven during the day because the day-to-day fleet has been let go so long that now they're having... A couple of these trucks are broke down, and that's... that's a failure. I mean, that's got to be, you know, and I'll tell you, the morale... I mean, I'm not talking to one. I'm talking 10, 12 different individuals over in DPW saying, man, oh, man, I drive my car to work, mm-hmm. and I watch my boss drive in with this vehicle, and then I'm getting in this shit box and risking my life, and I'm buying gas myself, making half of what he's making, and it's not good for morale. It's not.
And then emergency, essential, whatever, take a look at what vehicles, how often does a DA go out? Could that be part of your rotating take-home vehicle plan? I don't know about, there's weights and measures, there's the vets, they all have it, I don't know if they take them home or not. I guess that would be it. I mean, I'm thinking every deputy, but... And there's, almost 100 of these vehicles are sheriffs, even though they only take home 44.
There's a CO or two, that become captain, and they are working 99.999% of the time at the jail.
Mm-hmm.
They are not investigators unless one of their men or women, has an accident on the way home or something really weird out of the ordinary would have them actually go off hours. There's going to be a couple of sheriff's department vehicles. I don't think nearly as much that we have long discussions on. I think DPW and the DA's office is probably where there's going to be the most debate and discussion. But there will be a couple in the sheriff's department that I think we have to go. Is that, what is this? And I've been told by COs that, just matter of fact, well, that's a benefit of becoming captain.
Done, yeah, but
you get a take-home vehicle. It's kind of like a rite of passage. Not in my county, as far as I'm concerned. But that's all for us to discuss. There'll be seven of us to vote. Amanda, your opinion matters. The comptroller's opinion matters. And then we'll vote and send it up to the other.
And if it is, then we should advertise jobs like that, because maybe we would get more retention. It's like, hey, this job, you get your own take.
You get a Mustang.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know.
Well, I think that's the importance of quantifying the benefit.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want this salary, or do you want this salary with the take home, if it's justified?
Right.
And you said something important earlier for the approval process for new positions. I think that will come out of this. Once we know enough to...
Once we decide what we want our take-home fleet to look like, that's another thing that we got to talk about, and what we're going to put in to the new actual policy is what is our approach to a new take-home, adding a take-home vehicle to the fleet. Once we are satisfied where we're at, going into the future, there will definitely be requests for new take-home vehicles, and what is our process, and what are we going to, require for that? Mm-hmm. Is it just a discussion?
And I would like to see work vehicles take precedent over that.
And a new, that could be something that we require be a standalone resolution, that if it's a new, it's a take-home vehicle that doesn't already exist.
Even the Charlie Busick policy doesn't have that kind of hurdle in it. That there's legislative approval, it was always delegated, that this was the calculus and the framework, and then the approval was up to, the kind of administrative.
But if there's, my point is, if there's not a take-home vehicle, I'm not really saying that we have to approve a new, just the idea of a new take-home vehicle. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't exist, and it's being put in for, then there will be a purchase of a vehicle, and mm-hmm. that purchase we would approve, whether it's packaged together. But all I'm saying is we could require the purchase of a new take, what's going to become a position's new take-home vehicle that didn't formally have one. That would be a standalone resolution, and that's where you'd get some diligence and discussion on, well, why didn't this position have it before?
Yeah.
How much do you expect it to be used for? And then we would have that discussion in Ways and Means, and at that point, there's some diligence around it, and we didn't just all of a sudden add a take-home vehicle to this massive fleet with it kind of snuck into, not on purpose, but just kind of bare, kind of mixed
maybe
up.
Maybe also in the backup that goes along with the procurement, right, the capital of having some kind of information about, is this replacing a take-home vehicle, is this a new take-home, so that it's, again, it's part of the information that's presented to the legislature. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there a vehicle assignment, which is probably diving more into the operations, but this would be an issue with our departments because the higher up guy always got the new one. And after a while, it would just get assigned accordingly. So there wasn't like this whole, okay, so now you get the 2024 Mustang, and the rest gets passed down until you get the vehicle that, you know, has 3.5 wheels and no muffler. And also, I just want to say that whenever I borrowed a county vehicle, I never had to fill a form out. Do you know if that's something the clerks do on our behalf? You do it on our behalf. Okay. To keep us honest.
It's through the intranet.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we were just spoiled.
Can we also check on, I believe it was President's Day 2023. Can we go ahead and just take a look? Just
four
as like
three.
2023. Oh, we're in 2024. I'm sorry. President's Day 2024. It was a Prius, and there's only a couple of them. Can we find out up on, you know, the mountain?
Olivia.
Olivia.
It's not Olivia?
Olivia. Where is Olivia? Yeah.
It's almost in Delaware.
Oh,
okay. County, yeah.
Oh, God. Tell me
going
it's
up
trapping
to
all
ledge
far
away,
of course.
Oh, right. Slide Mountain.
Way up. Slide Mountain, yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, that... We'll look into that. We will refer that to...
I don't want to hear the person's name. I would... I think it'd be fair enough for...
Like a kind of yes or no update, but,
okay.
You know...
And I'll give you the date of... Just as... These are just a couple of things I've heard recently. I'll give you the date of... I have it in my truck, actually, I believe. I'll give you the date of... I believe it was tourism. Maybe it... No, I think it was a UCAT van. I have it all written down. And I have the date and the time over at Sam's Club where there were two county employees, and it was well before lunchtime. I think it was 10:30, and there was alcohol in the car. So I don't know.
Purchased alcohol? Or
getting ready to purchase it.
So I did very recently approve there's an employee appreciation event for UCAT that's not involved with feeding the bus drivers alcohol. There was for an employee appreciation.
When was this?
Campaign. Pretty recently.
Okay, this is about a month and a half, 2 months ago, so it wouldn't
just
be that.
I approved the payment for that. You know, so I can assure you that on the receipt, which I did review, there was no bottled water, which is actually what I was looking for. And there was, you know, it was only snacks and...
Okay, and if it's that date, then... And they could
have to talk about...
If they grabbed the alcohol themselves, I'm not even that worried about it. If they were there on... if they were approved county time, they were buying stuff for, and they happen to grab a 12-pack, I could care less. If the receipt matches that date, but if it doesn't, and they just happen to be there, then we got to figure out what's going on with
the
property.
Just a receipt for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, may have been that.
I mean...
That's kind of the stuff you have to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because honestly, when we would take out a vehicle, if I'm over at ShopRite to pick up stuff, I'm going to grab the salmon for dinner, too. Maybe we shouldn't. But I think
I'm
the only question would be about,
shops for that,
you know,
kind of
having thing. Alcohol.
If they're there,
have
if they're,
alcohol
if it's appropriate, they're there, and it's appropriate what they're doing. If they threw something else in a cart, I could care less. So let's just line that receipt up.
Yep.
Anybody else have anything? But you know what? Before we go, one more thing. Amanda, I think ultimately what we're trying, I would like to see the Charlie Busick policy take all the nonsense out about procedure. And I'd like to get down to a much shorter policy that does cover a process for take-home vehicles, oversight for take-home vehicles, but stuff that is not overly wordy, stuff that we can follow and read and make sure it's happening, and then also part of the policy, obviously the template stuff that's in all of these counties' policies, but also a little bit with regards to the resolution and the purchasing of the vehicle and how we go about that. That's what I'd like to end up with, a shorter...
And the template.
That's, that we just got. We have SOPs for county vehicle usage. We have SOPs for take-home vehicle. Kind of the budget one is not something we deal with as an SOP. Kind of frankly, if we're dealing with the nuts and bolts of procedure, I'm just going to kind of look at Charlie Busick. I'm going to look at the one that we're currently using, and then we're going to talk about what we want to be doing. Because, you know, as the county executive was quoted saying, that, you know, she's highly interested in a right-sized fleet for all the efficiencies that go along with that, along with, you know, using take-home vehicles where they're actually serving the county's use. I think that's a fair way to say it.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely, you know, willing to work our sleeves and look into that. But again, just with the, you know, we're going to be looking at that more of the procedural kind of nuts and bolts of it. But we may have policy suggestions for you if that's appropriate.
And I think Herb's point that he made about if it's a vehicle that's being used only to commute to and from work, then we don't need to be buying that vehicle.
Is it serving the county?
It's about the taxpayer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to hit up the DA, and hopefully we get the earlier the better so we can look at it and maybe fire off another question or two. Did you have anything else, Charles?
No. Happy to see that you're reviewing it, Amanda.
And we will...
thank you, sir.
We want to talk about the date of the next meeting and what works for people.
I have three dates ready to go for you guys. The May 6th, these are all Thursdays at 5 p.m. Again, same time it seems to work for everybody. The 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th.
Mm. And do we have a timeline?
We have 6 months, so we have 4 more months.
Okay.
So there may come a point in a month or so where we want to schedule two meetings just to make sure we can get to that. But I think the next meeting's going to be fun, where we start to just go through vehicle by vehicle, and then we'll have another quick discussion about where we're at.
What were those dates, Michael? 16th, 23rd, 30th.
I think the 23rd is a good tempo, because it's almost exactly...
Yes.
Any of those.
All right, so let's do the 23rd.
Oh, I'm in the email.
It's the week after session.
Yeah, week after session.
16, 23, 30. So we're going to do 16?
23rd.
Okay. I'll just stay here. We're having the UCRA reform meeting the same day.
Really?
Yeah. 9:30 in the morning.
Oh.
Ungodly hours.
So you're just going to hang out at the building?
So the 23rd is official?
I just, like, bring my laptop and work.
Motion?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All pizza?
There you go.
Aye.
Michael likes pizza.
Folks, thank you all.